Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Monday, December 23rd, 2013. Well, welcome to our annual Christmas show. This year we have a special treat for you. First off, we'll start with an interview with Alberta writer Marcia Laycock, who will then read a section from her recently published Christmas novella, An Unexpected Glory. We'll talk to Marcia in a few minutes, but before we do, here's Carol of the Bells from Trevor Dick's Glory and Peace CD. And now to our interview with Marcia Laycock. Good evening, Marcia.
Good evening, Robert.
Now, let's introduce ourselves to you. Some of our listeners might not know who you are or anything like that. So when did you start writing?
I was very young when I started. My mom used to say that she thought I was born with a pencil in my hand because I was always scribbling something or other, even when I was very young. So I don't really remember a time when I didn't write.
Well, when did you sort of take that turn to get yourself and try and get some of your work published?
That happened just shortly after my husband and I came out of the Yukon and went to Bible college down in Saskatchewan at Karenport. A friend of mine asked me to go to a conference with her, a seminar being put on by Carol Kent called Speak Up with Confidence. It was about public speaking. And in the course of talking about speaking, Carol talked a lot about writing. And I was a brand new Christian. We had just come to the Lord a couple of years before that. And it just hit me like that proverbial thunderbolt that I could now write as a believer and write for the Lord. And so it really, that seminar just really lit a fire under me to write. And when I got out here to Alberta, my husband took his first pastorate was here in central Alberta at Pinoca, at the Church of the Open Bible in Pinoca. And when we arrived, one of the things that he was asked to do was to write a regular column in the local paper. And he had so much on his plate already as a brand new pastor there that he asked me if I could do it, just to begin with, to start up doing that. And so I said, yeah, I could probably do that. So I started putting something together, took it over to the editor, and that was the beginning of about almost 20 years of writing for the newspapers in Pinoca. So that kind of got me launched into my publishing career.
Well, looking back on that and going back to that time, when you saw that first column, you know, appear in the newspaper, you pick it up, and I'm assuming, if I recall correctly, the Pinoca was a weekly.
That's right.
Newspaper. And so you pick up that weekly newspaper and you look at it and there are your words and, you know, by Marcia Laycock. What went through your mind as you were looking at that?
Well, you know, I remembered when I was 11 years old, my aunt gave me a wonderful little book called Emily of New Moon by Lucy Maud Montgomery, the lady who wrote the Anne books. And in that book, as I was reading it, I suddenly discovered that you could actually call yourself a writer. And that's what I determined to be at the age of 11. And I remember when I saw that first column in the paper with my byline under it, that, wow, you know, here it is. And I now actually can call myself a writer now that I have been published. So it was a real thrill to see that for sure.
Now, you've gone on from that. You've gone on from doing the columns and that. You've done some novels. You were one of the first winners of, it was a publishing contest that the Word Guild was doing. Sort of what led you to get to the point where you started to move from columns to books?
Well, I had always written fiction. Fiction really was what I focused on quite a lot, other than the devotional columns that I was doing for the paper. So I was always writing fiction. I think I had probably about 3 or 4 full-length novels done by the time I published my first one. So it was just something that I always wanted to do and always loved to do. And then when the Word Guild and Castle Key Books in is based down in Ontario there, offered the contest for unpublished novelists to submit a manuscript, and then the winner would have that manuscript published. So it was a great opportunity, and I decided to do it, and entered my first published novel in that contest. And it was a real thrill, certainly, to win that. I was really very grateful to the Word Guild and to Larry Willard at Castle Key.
Well, and looking at that, what was it like when you finally held a copy of the book in your hand?
Oh, that was wonderful. That was to have that box of books delivered to my front doorstep by the UPS driver was just such a thrill. It was a little bit surreal to lift that book out of the box and realize, you know, here it is. It's actually a physical book with a cover and everything. So it was a great feeling for sure. And it was a total thrill to me to be able to give that, the very first book that I lifted out of that box, I gave to a friend of mine, and her daughter had been going through some really difficult things as a young woman and had turned away from God and just not in a good place. And her mom kept giving her things to read, and sometimes she'd read them and sometimes she wouldn't. But I gave that book to her mom, and then her mom gave it to her. And that young woman called her mom at midnight that night, and she had gone home with this book and with no intention of reading it, because she really wasn't interested in anything of God at that point. But she got the flu, and she didn't have anything in the house to read, and her TV didn't work, so she had nothing else to do but sit and read One Smooth Stone. And she called her mom at midnight in tears and said, "Mom, I think I finally believe that God still does love me in spite of everything that's happened." And so that was a real thrill. Her mom called me right away the next day and told me what had happened. And I said to my husband, I said, "You know, in a way, I don't care if I ever sell another book. I think God has accomplished his purposes for this book by what it's done in this young woman's life."
Well, and I mean, as writers, that's something we often don't get is the feedback on what we've done and hear how it has had an effect on people's lives. Looking at the story that we're talking about today, where did the whole idea for Unexpected Glory come from?
Well, I'd always wanted to write a story about a Christmas pageant. The pageants have always, since I became a believer, have been kind of special to me. My husband and I, as I said, came to Christ late in life, and that happened just as I was having my first child. It was a miracle birth in a way. The doctors had said that we would never have children together. And so this was, in a way, God's proof of his love to me, that he gave me a child. And it was the one desire of my heart at that time. And it was his proof to me that he did love me. And it turned my heart from something that was very cold and like a stone to be something soft that could receive that love. And so Katie was born on November 30th in 1982, and on December 10th, it was her first outing to take her to a little Christmas pageant in our tiny little mission church way up in Dawson City, Yukon. And it was just a very special time for me. The pageant itself was certainly nothing to write home about. It was, you know, about five or six little kids dressed up in bathrobes and with tea towels around their heads, and the backdrop was made of an old curtain with tinfoil stars on it. And we barely had any music. We just sang the carols a cappella. And so it was a very homemade, homey kind of thing. But to me, it was very, very special because it was the first time that as I watched this pageant, I realized this story is true. And I really realized the power of it. So I'd always wanted to write a story about a Christmas pageant. And when I was invited to write for this this series of novellas, it's under the heading of Kathy Macias's 12 Days of Christmas. There's 12 stories that release every two weeks. And when I was invited to do that, I had an idea already in my mind. I had another story that I had been working on, and it was almost finished. So I thought that's what I would use. But then as I started to look at that and I started to think about it and pray about it, this other story just started to, it was almost like it was downloaded into my brain. And I began to write it, and I had so much fun writing it. And I thought, as I finished it up, I thought, yeah, this is the one that I want to submit.
Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back with our guest, Marcy Laycock, she's going to read a portion of An Unexpected Glory as our Christmas treat to you. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Sojourn of the Kings from the Glory and Peace CD by Trevor Dick. I'm your host, Robert White, and author Marcia Laycock is going to read a selection from her Christmas novella called An Unexpected Glory. Go ahead, Marcia.
Thanks, Robert. An Unexpected Glory. The call came early in the morning. I sat in stunned silence as Linda told me that we would have to cancel our main fundraiser, scheduled to happen that night, 8 days before Christmas. But we can't cancel now, I said. We've sold over 300 tickets. Even the mayor is coming. I'm really sorry, Pastor Steve. There's nothing we can do. Two kids have come down with measles, and some of the adults are showing symptoms. We're quarantined. Measles? I didn't think that existed anymore. Apparently, it's trying for a comeback. But what about the orchestra? Can we at least get the orchestra to come? I'm sorry, no. The orchestra was with us for our last rehearsal. The public health people have quarantined us all until the incubation period is over. I groaned into the phone. God, this can't be happening. I'm truly sorry, Linda said, but I'm sure everything will be on track for next year. Next year, I thought. What about this year? What about tonight? Thank you for letting me know. I knew my voice sounded morose, but I couldn't keep my despair from showing. I hung up and put my head in my hands. I'd been running New Life Shelter for Men for the past 10 years, and we'd always had tremendous success with our Christmas pageant. 5 churches banded together to perform a pageant that was a spectacle to behold. It was the highlight of the Christmas season for the whole city. Everyone expected it to be on the 8th day before Christmas. Everyone expected it to be amazing. It was also our main fundraiser. Without the pageant, we would be in danger of having to close our doors. Trouble, boss? I lifted my head to see Stanley standing in the doorway, his shaggy red head cocked to one side. I'm afraid so, Stanley. Big trouble. He stepped closer. What's up? We have to cancel the pageant. What? We can't. It's tonight, and we've sold every ticket. I shook my head. Linda Thomas just called. A bunch of their kids have measles. Everyone else is under quarantine. The orchestra from Grace Community, too. I held out my hands, palms up. We have nothing. Stanley slumped into the chair opposite my desk. He stared at his scuffed work boots for a while, then straightened and his head came up. Not true, boss, he said. I frowned. Got everything we need right here. The residents. Yep, yep. The residents can do it. I shook my head. Stanley, he stood up, his shaggy head nodding. Most of them have seen it a gazillion times. They have the lines in their heads. Yep, yep, all we have to do is get them going. I grinned at my unflappable assistant. Stanley had once been a resident here, a man down on his luck, trying to find the solution to his pain in a bottle of cheap wine. He'd started coming for the free meals, started listening to the messages I preached and about the love of Jesus, and followed and slowly began a slow, long journey to recovery. He'd been my right-hand man for 5 years, and aside from a mildly annoying habit of saying yep, yep a lot, he was always a welcome help. I couldn't run the place without him. He stood before me now with such hope in his eyes, I almost believed what he suggested was possible. But I shook my head. Maybe if we had a month or two. But it's supposed to happen tonight, Stanley. There's no way we can pull this together in one day. Stanley's eyes clouded for a minute. But we have to, boss. We have to. He was right. The alternative was unthinkable. My head sank into my hands again. Stanley chuckled, making my head jerk up. We've seen miracles here before. Maybe this is just another opportunity for God to show us how much he loves us. You always say that's what he's all about, right? I couldn't help but grin at him again. Then faces started flowing through my head, as though they were stored on some kind of mental database. The faces of all the men who depended on us to feed them and give them a warm bed and a chance to get their lives back. Some of the faces started to appear with headdresses on them, the 3 wise men, Harriet and Joseph. Charlie One Note appeared with a white halo around him. I let out a loud guffaw at that. Really, Lord? Really? Stanley was leaning toward me, his eyebrows raised expectantly. I took a deep breath and glanced at the clock on the wall. 7:30. Breakfast would be served in half an hour. We'll have to recruit them at breakfast, I said. Stanley leaped in the air and clapped his hands. How many? I went down the list of characters in my mind, 10 at least. I frowned. Do you think we can find 10 able and willing to do it? Let's go find out. He turned for the door. Stanley, he turned back to me. Like you said, this is going to take a miracle, so maybe we should start with prayer. Yep, yep. You got it, boss. You pray, and I'll recruit. He strode through the door as though he were going on stage himself. Another face suddenly appeared in my mind, with Joseph's striped towel around his head. I laughed out loud again, then knelt beside my desk to pray.
Oh, thank you, Marcy, for that. If people want to see the read the whole thing, how can they get a hot copy of that?
It's quite easy. You just go to Amazon. In Canada, you can go to Amazon.ca or Barnes & Noble or Kobo. Any of those ebook platforms will have it listed. And just type in the title, An Unexpected Glory, or Kathy Macias, 12 Days of Christmas, and it will come up, and you can download it for your e-reader.
Great. Now, just to sort of clarify something for some of our listeners, you're talking about this being a novella. What's sort of the difference between a novella and a novel?
Well, it's basically just the length. This story runs to about 10,000 words or so. So it's about 23 pages long, whereas, of course, a novel would go to 100 and some thousand words. So it's quite a bit longer. So this is a shorter read.
And it's something somebody can probably read in an evening?
Oh, yes, easily.
Well, what's next on the agenda for you?
Well, right now I'm working on the first three chapters in a novel that I'm sending off to an agent down in the States in a large publishing house down there, or a large agency, rather. She requested to see the manuscript at the Write Canada conference this past summer. So I'm working on that. I have actually just sent her the first three chapters, and I'm working on getting the rest of that ready to go if she requests it. So I'm hopeful that that might go somewhere. This is going to be a series of books about a pastor's wife who becomes kind of an amateur sleuth, sort of like a Jessica Fletcher kind of character.
So a different direction for you going into the mystery genre.
Yes, a little bit. My first two novels had a fair bit of suspense in them, but this is a little bit of a different twist for me. But I've been enjoying working on it.
Great. What if people are interested in finding out a little bit more about you and some of your books? You mentioned One Smooth Stone, and there's a novella. Where can they find more information about you?
Again, just go to the internet. If you Google my name, my website will come up. That's just www.marcialeelaycock.com, and that will give you a bunch of information. My blog is there, and a place where people can sign up to receive The Spur, which is my devotional column, which I'm still writing. So if you'd like to receive that by email, they can go there to that website and do that as well.
Great. Well, Marcia, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you, Robert. Really enjoyed speaking with you.
Thank you. And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thanking my guest, Marcia Laycock. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at www.selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W, ministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W, ministries.ca. Or follow us on Twitter at Selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless. And as we finish this Christmas program, we're going to end with Jesu in a Manger, a medley of Away in a Manger and Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring, from the Peace CD of Trevor Dick's 2-CD Christmas set titled Glory and Peace. Have a Merry Christmas from all of us here at Arts Connection.
listening to Arts Connection, a production of Salav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.